Well, I once heard from somebody who said, in more or less of a demeaning way, Christians are just weak and needy people. That's a good description of a Christian. And I would say to that, yes, we are weak and needy people. We know that we are needy. Jesus actually himself said, I have not come for the strong and the healthy, I've come for the sick. And so all of us acknowledge that we are needy. Well, what are our needs? I bet there's many needs, just even among the congregation here today, many different needs. We need to talk about what is a need, because sometimes we get confused between what we need and what we want. Well, a need is actually another word that goes with need. It's a necessity. It's something that you must have. In other words, we need water, don't we? Or else we'll die. It's something you must have to live. Well, we have people calling the church. We actually had some people call the church this week. One woman, she said, I need hot water in our house. We moved into this new place, and we weren't able to put enough money down to get, I don't know if it was electricity or what it was, hot water. Other people have called needing food, needing clothes. But what about Paul? What did he need? He talks about sharing his trouble. he talks about, you gave me help for my needs. Well, we think that Paul's needs are financial. Here he is in prison. He's in Rome, so he needs money to be able to go out and buy food. Remember, it wasn't, he was more or less under house arrest at times, where he was able to move around, but he had a guard. Some people say at times he was chained to a guard. And so he perhaps had others with him who could go to the market, get food. Another commentator says that perhaps he needed clothes. After a while, he's traveled. He doesn't have extra clothes. He needs a pair of clothes. Some think maybe he needed reading materials. But Paul even talks more about what he needs in verse 14, verse 15. He needs partnership. And I think this is something that we often gloss over. You and I actually both need relationship. We were created to be in a relationship. Just look way back at the beginning of the Bible. When God created Adam, he brought all the animals. Adam's naming all the animals, but there was no suitable helper for him to be found. So he created Eve. They were in a relationship together. But even before that, God created Adam to be in a relationship with him, relationship with God. See, when we were created, we had this need for a relationship. And yet we see, as Adam and Eve sinned and fell and disobeyed God, the relationship with God was immediately at odds. Remember, they went and hid, and God said, "Where are you?" Of course, God knew where he was, where they were. "Why are you hiding?" They knew something right away was not right. And so, same with us. Through Adam, we too have a broken relationship with God that needs to be restored. But it's not only that, we have a broken relationship with other people, don't we? And even beyond that, we are not even at peace with ourselves. How we view ourselves, our identity, who we say we are. And so we have a new need now, not just for relationship, but a need for forgiveness, for mercy, a need for a perfect sacrifice. And this comes through relationship with Jesus Christ. And I've been thinking about this, that when people call the church and say, "Do you guys help with electric bills?" I'm thinking my first response should be, actually, we help people with a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. The first thing say, and sometimes we help people with electric bills. So they know right away, this is our primary help. But Paul didn't spiritualize everything here. He doesn't say, oh, you know, thank you for helping me with strengthening me through your prayers and all that. He talked about real needs, financial needs, even. And so there are real material needs that God provides for as well. Our greatest provision for every need, he tells us, is supplied in Christ Jesus. So we're going to look at two things today. How God supplies our need, first of all, through his people. And second of all, through his riches. So number one, God provides our needs through his people. We see this very clearly here with Paul and the Philippians. It comes through a partnership, verse 15. No church entered into a partnership except you alone, he says to the Philippians. It was kind of you to share my trouble. What's Paul's trouble? Well, he's in prison. He's trying to share the gospel with others. He's having problems in the beginning of Philippians. We say that others are preaching Christ out of envy and rivalry, and some from goodwill. So there's some trouble going on there. But it's all that he was and is going through. In the beginning of Paul's ministry, when he says here, in the beginning of the gospel, what he's talking about is the beginning of Paul's ministry when he is going proclaiming the gospel. We know the gospel was before Paul, too, in the early church. Indeed, before that with Jesus. So the beginning of Paul's ministry, the church in Philippi, they entered into a relationship with Paul. It's kind of like if you know about law firms, there's usually partners within the law firms, right? They go through things together. If they have cases, yes, maybe one partner will be dealing more with one case than the other partner, and they might be dealing with another case. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to the firm. It's not just falling on the partner. They're going through it together. We could talk about it partnering with missionaries. For example, Julie. The things that she goes through, we go through too in a way, don't we? You can read what she wrote over there, certain things that she went through and is going through. So we carry each other's burdens in that way. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He's thankful that the Philippians are doing that. But he's also talking about a heart condition. He said, it was kind of you, verse 14. You sent me help. You were generous. You were sharing with me in need. This is an attitude that leads to action. In our scripture reading this morning, we just read, I'm thankful you talked about the submission, your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ. So in other words, we need a new heart to be able to do this, to give freely. Our action comes from what we believe. And this is what Paul is focusing on in verse 17. He said, I'm not trying to seek the gift, but I'm seeking the fruit. Now we think, is this selfish of Paul? Well, I just want the fruit that you are bearing. Well, think about it. If you plant something, like many of you did earlier this year, you are eager to get the fruit. And last night I was out covering up my peppers that are still out there. I'm trying to get them to turn red on the vine. We're a little bit, it's about just about done now. But I care about the fruit on there. So, in other words, Paul here, he cares about the fruit coming from these believers' lives. He wants to see the fruit. He's seeking the fruit. John chapter 4 says, they're gathering fruit for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. So the person who sowed the fruit reaps, and they're excited, and the person who reaps gets the benefits as well. Maybe that person is the same person. In this case, Paul has sowed seed in the Philippians of the gospel, and now that he wants to see the fruit so that he can rejoice. But let us remember, God made it grow. So there's no boasting that Paul's saying, ah, look at the fruit that I created in you. No. Remember, Paul says, some plant, some water, but God made it grow. So what does he mean here by saying, I am seeking the fruit that increases to your credit? Some people talk about it as a giving equals an investment. That when you give, maybe you give time, you give energy, you give financially, whatever you give to the kingdom of God, there are returns. We might not see them, we might see them. In other words, some of you gave for Julie to go on this trip. Well, Julie, being over in Uganda, there are investments being made for the gospel. There are benefits, there are returns. Scripture reading again said, you will be enriched in every way for all your generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. So there is an enriching through generosity. What are these fruits? Well, one person said, one could be a good conscience, having a good conscience that you have given freely. Another, assurance of your salvation. Here is you're seeing evidence of the faith that God has worked in you. Another, it's enriching your fellowship with other believers. It's increasing your joy and your love. There's praise on the day of judgment. Well done, my good and faithful servant, right? So when you give, you are enriched. And I've told friends who are going on a mission trip or going into the mission field, and they're writing support letters, which most people don't like to do because they feel like it's asking for money, which in a sense it is, but there is a real joy for the believer to be able to give. And I've even come out and told them, don't rob my joy by not sending me a letter. If I want to be able to give, there's joy there. And sometimes we think, well, we don't want to ask. But that's actually could be robbing someone of joy that they could have in participating in giving. The Philippians knew this. This letter is a letter of joy. Paul is so joyful at what they have done, at seeing their faith. But it's also an offering and a sacrifice. You see in verse 18, he says, the gifts you sent from Epaphroditus, he was the messenger, remember, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. This is Old Testament language, okay? We see that when people offered up the animal sacrifices, there was a pleasing aroma in God's nostrils, as it talks about. There was an acceptableness to the sacrifice. There is a cost. And then we also see, what are the sacrifices of God? A broken spirit and a contrite heart. One person writes, all sincere Christian service, which entails sacrificial and self-denying cost, not only promotes the cause of Christ and strengthens the hand of God's servants, but it is an act of worship in which God takes pleasure. So in other words, he's telling the Philippians, you are worshiping the Lord by giving in this way. Well, God works through his people to provide. How does he do it? Sometimes he provides financially through his people. Sometimes he provides relationship through his people. But provision through people only goes so far. There is a point where it does fall short, doesn't it? And that's the second point today. God provides for every need through his riches in Christ. We see this in verse 19. We can have all the money that we need, all our financial needs met. We can have great relationships with people, but we still can have a great need that is unmet. And our greatest need this morning is to be made right with God. Our greatest need in life is for forgiveness, is for redemption, is for mercy, for grace. And the greatest provision that God has provided for us is in Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ himself. If you look at the verse 18 here, the words, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God, these words in the Greek are actually the exact same in Ephesians 5:2, which Paul wrote, where he says, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Jesus Christ is this fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He sacrificed himself. He gave us his perfect life so that we would be brought back into relationship with God, that we would no longer be alienated. His death is actually an act of worship to God, doing what all other offerings could not do, restoring us to God. And Bob read for us this morning that though he was rich, Jesus was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. So in other words, when Jesus died for your sin, and you put your faith in him, you gain the riches that he had, and that he indeed has now, because he has risen from the dead, and he has been given all the riches promised to the one who fulfilled the covenant, who lived perfectly the way that God called us to, that we could not. And now, in Christ, we have these riches. Jesus provides, we can see this all through Scripture. Psalm 23, we read it and sang it this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, I shall not lack anything. He makes me lie down by green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. In the valley of the shadow of death, he is with me. He comforts me. All of these needs that we have being met in the Lord as our shepherd. Psalm 34 says, those who fear him have no lack. Ephesians 1 talks about every spiritual blessing. Adoption, you've been adopted into a family. Redemption, you've been redeemed. You've been forgiven. You've been given grace. You've inherited. You've become a child of God. You now have the Holy Spirit. You are able to believe, faith within you. God has revealed his knowledge and wisdom to you. You're able to understand it by the Spirit and his word now. What a great picture, and what deep riches. Yesterday, Karen and I were able to go to a wedding down in Massachusetts of a friend that I went to college with. And we're sitting there in the reception area. And I thought later on, what a great illustration of everything being provided for. Here we are. All we have to do is show up. And we sit at the table. The waitresses and waiters come over. They pour your drinks. They serve your food. You sit there. You're there to enjoy. You're there to partake, be with the people in relationship that you have with them. And everything is taken care of. All your needs are met. But even more so, the bride is the one who is completely taken care of. The bride sits there, waited on hand and foot. The bride is served. Do you know that you, Christian, are the bride of Christ? All your needs are met. Anything that you need, Christ provides. We are his. He is ours. And we see this pattern in chapter 4 of Philippians. Maybe you've picked up on it. There's a statement given such as, rejoice in the Lord. The Lord is near. And the result of that, and the peace of God, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Next section, have this mind in yourselves, and the result of that, the God of peace will be with you. And then the next section, I have learned to be content in every situation. The result of that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And now this section, we have, God will supply your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and the result of that, is verse 20. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. We could say that's the result of all of them, of the whole book, in fact. It was their giving, and God's provision produces joy and fruit to God's glory. So I ask you this morning, do you have need of salvation this morning? If you do, ask forgiveness of your sins. Trust in Christ's riches, in His provision, in His righteousness. Remember, Paul says, I don't hold on to anything that's my own, but only in Christ. I've lost everything to gain Christ. Others of you here may say, I have trusted in Christ. I am trusting in Christ. And I praise God for that. You are gaining and partaking of His riches. So what need do you have? There's nothing that God cannot meet. And I'll close with this. I got a letter in the mail this last week. And Ron actually saw me opening it. And he came down the stairs. And I must have had some kind of look on my face because Ron asked me if I was feeling okay. He said, you all right? I was just standing there bewildered. And I'll tell you why. The letter was from a neighbor of ours in St. Louis. We lived in a big apartment building, and there are about three or four floors. This neighbor happened to live near us, and we would pass him in the halls. Didn't know him real well, but talked with him every once in a while. We told him that we were moving to Vermont, and what we were doing. 3.5 years later, I've never heard from the guy. 3.5 years later, I get this letter last week. And in the letter, he says that he found us on the web. He said, thanks, you know, to the website. I found you in about 20 seconds. And God moved in his heart to see a need for his work, even up here in Vermont. He expressed a desire to listen to the sermons online. And then, as I open the letter, there is a check in there for $1,000 for this church. And I was just confounded. I mean, now Ron knows why. I was looking a little sick, maybe. But do you think there's any mistake that I received that letter on the week that God wanted you to hear this passage? That God will provide and supply for all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, from wherever He wants, from whomever He wants. And my response can only be, to God, to our God and Father, be glory forever and ever.